Right, Elaine, welcome to the John Covey podcast. This is episode 49. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Fantastic, good stuff. So everybody, I want to introduce you to Elaine Mitchell. Elaine Mitchell is an empowerment coach, an author, a speaker, and a life coach. Tell us about that.
Do a bit of everything. <Don't>, which is difficult sometimes because people think, oh, master of NA.
Ah, yeah.
But yeah, everything combines fully into coaching has been my background. I do believe that everybody's got their own answers inside.
Sure.
So I just use different tools and methods to elicit that.
Got you.
So it can be energy work, such as the Reiki and the healing. It can be talking, which is pure coaching. It can be a number of things, just being on a course and that sort of thing.
Sure. One of the things that we've just been talking about just before we started rolling was about this bars that you did. Yeah. I mean, tell us about this. This sounds fascinating.
It is. It's from Access Consciousness, and it's a bizarre story. I was at a Mind Body Spirit about 16, 17 years ago. And as you do, back in the days before it was handing over emails, it was like, leave your address.
Really?
So I left my address and 5 years later, got a postcard saying, I'm back in England, do you want to come to this session? So I went along to the session, not even remembering what it was about, listened to the lady and was like, wow, I want a piece of this. She said, you should do this. So I signed up. I went on a course to become a bars practitioner, which is basically the touching, using the energy within your body and releasing the pathways in your brain.
Nice.
So helping to release like limiting beliefs and thought processes that hold us back.
Sure.
And changing how we feel and think about ourselves. Did the course and then basically forgot about it for a good few years.
Right, yeah.
And then I've just sort of gone back to it. But yeah. Ironically, when I've gone back over my notes and the actual physicality of it, all the notes and all the words and the processes, the behind the scenes tools, if you like,
yes,
are what I use in my coaching anyway,
right,
the
right.
Language patterns and that.
So you're still applying it even though you wasn't really aware that that might have been the case, right?
Yeah.
How fascinating. And I mean, what's more fascinating is, well, not more fascinating, but like postcards. It's simply, wasn't it?
I know, it was like a postcard coming around, like, yeah, I'll go to that.
Yeah.
And I went.
Yeah.
So.
And it's just crazy, isn't it? I was having this conversation with my parents the other day, actually, and they were saying that they used to write letters to each other. And that's how they used to. I mean, my dad's 81, 82 this year. And so when they first started kind of courting, as they used to say, used to write letters.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow.
And
postcards, letters, incredible.
Yeah.
So, like you said, with the bars, it helps them to unblock limiting beliefs. What kind of limiting beliefs do you find most people have? Is there a pattern? Is there some similarities to people?
I think most, like, just not feeling good enough. Not feeling worthy to be in the space that they're in.
Right.
Not feeling that they are as able as the next person.
Got you.
And again, and like you just said, postcards, I think there's a lot of pressure on us through social media to have that Insta life.
Right, yeah, totally.
And not feeling that you're in that position to be that person.
Of course. And where does it come from then? Because it's not just, social media is relatively new, isn't it, in the grand scheme of things, but like, people's always felt this way, haven't they, to a degree?
Definitely.
Why do you think this is?
I think it's just as we grow up, we look round to see what there is. There's like the old saying, keeping up with the Joneses, and just being able to not even necessarily better yourself, because that might not be the life that you want. It's just, are you catching up on what will other people's perceptions be?
Got you. So it's just like you say, it's just comparing. And what's the saying there? There's a comparison is the thief of all joy.
Mm.
So true, isn't it?
Yeah,
so true.
Definitely.
Is there any other, like, limiting beliefs that's like people not feeling good about themselves or doing the self image, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like confidence, money.
Yeah.
They're the kind of common ones, would you say?
Yeah. And I work a lot with women who have got busy lives.
Yeah.
And not that men don't have busy lives, but they've perhaps got families. They may well be single parents.
Sure.
They want to set a business up. They may well be working. They may well have got kids with special needs. They may be sandwich generation, which is caring for elderly parents because there's not the support out there anymore.
Of course.
And also caring for your kids.
Sure.
So there's lots and lots of different hats, different heads, and we forget who we are.
Right.
We forget where we are, what we want to be. We forget to check in
yes.
and think, you know what, this is, I'm on the right path, or where's my path even where gone? Is my path? So overgrown now and everything.
That's fascinating. So, So what would you do in that situation when someone's lost the path altogether? Do you know, how would you, is there a framework that you use, or is there certain things that you do to bring them back on the path and discover it again?
First of all, it's, I work with what I call the power of three, which is gratitude, acceptance and detachment. Good. Gratitude is, it's the bomb as far as I'm concerned. It's like your life, it's the life changing thing. In fact, I've just seen an article on people, the MRI scans of people with a positive outlook compared to the more negative outlook and pessimistic, and the scans are unbelievable for the growth currents in the brain and that sort of thing. So I think gratitude, we start with gratitude, that is the key. Then we move on to acceptance, which is, if you can't accept where you are, how do you know if you're making improvements? How do you know if you're able to move on? A lot of people, when they work with a coach, think that it's all going to be future-based. When I get there, I'm going to be happy. When that happens, I'll reach that goal. But if you've not got acceptance and realisation of where you are at the moment, you could well be so unhappy when you've reached that 100k deal or when you've got that promotion because the core has not been dealt with.
Absolutely.
So I work a lot with that. And then detachment can best be described as, it matters but it doesn't matter. And that's when you get into the point of not really caring about that Insta life, not really caring what Bob next door thinks about you, and being able to just stand in your own power.
And that's, I mean, that is power as well, isn't it? There, being able to do that without the fear of judgment and the fear of what other people's going to say about you.
Yeah, definitely.
I find it staggering that if we really looked at this, people don't think about us as much as we think they do.
No,
do they?
No. I'm speaking on Thursday night at an event, and my last slide is, you're not that important to other people. Newsflash, and they aren't that important to you. Because when we think about it, they're not that important to us.
No, not at all.
In big scheme things.
No, no, not at all. And it's none of our business, is it? Like,
no.
Even if they do think about us, it's nothing to do with us, is it?
Yeah,
so.
Totally.
So, Elaine, tell us a little bit more about empowering then. So, do you know, like, what a great word, firstly, though, to feel empowered. It just, it almost sounds magical in itself, doesn't it, the word empowerment.
Yeah.
So how do you go about empowering people to be able to have that confidence and that belief? You know, like, once they've gone through them three stages that you've just said, it's not as quick as just saying, you know, show some gratitude, you know, sorry, what's the second? So gratitude, acceptance, and then detachment. But we know it's not just as simple as it is just doing these things. We have to do it over and over again, don't we? So how do we make sure that they stay empowered?
It is, again, I think when I think about gratitude and when I speak about gratitude to people, it's not about a mindset thing. You have to start off with everything by making the conscious decisions to take the action and keep going. But I say that gratitude then moves into a whole set or heart set, and it becomes a way that you are. So you don't need to do a post saying, I've done my 10 gratitudes today, what are you grateful for? Because that's a bit... it's about just being there and feeling that, and gradually you work through it. And eventually, whether it's 6 days, 6 months, 6 years down the line, something happens and you think, oh, I would not have dealt with that in that way. So then you can sort of recognise it. But it is a gradual progression.
Of course.
Or a quick progression.
Depending on what it is.
Yeah, it is a shift that becomes a way of life.
Of course.
And obviously you do have areas when you have to have a duvet day or you're feeling really peed off at the world. And
it's fine, isn't it? Yeah.
That's your acceptance bit. That it's, do you know what? It's okay to be really cross at whatever today.
Sure.
And know that it's fluid and it just moves on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think that we live in a world that is very confusing right now for people. You know, we like fitness or health, but, you know, an apple a day, they say, don't they? It keeps the doctor away. But if all you ever eat is an apple, that's not very good for you, is it?
No.
So, like you just said, then a duvet day is, if you need it, do it. Just don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
So, author as well. Tell me that. So, you've got a book which is 7 Steps to Self-Empowerment.
Yes.
Yeah. So, how did that come about? What's the story there?
The story is, I was doing a blogging challenge and it was writing a blog every day for 30 days, which is flipping hard work, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Really hard work, because there was growth throughout that challenge and working on all the areas of it. And then the lady who ran the challenge, she put a note in saying, you've all got a book now. And it was like, yes, we have.
Yeah.
So I was doing an event at Grenoside, a mind, body, spirit. I was speaking at that and I was going to have a stand. I didn't want to do the Reiki because there was other practitioners there doing that. And so I cobbled a few of my blog posts together and expanded them, and my book was launched.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So that was last year, was it, I believe?
It's been out a couple of years now, but it's just having a new edition done.
Really?
I've just done the cover. So it's just a little bit more, perhaps a bit more user-friendly, because it's got a journal in there.
Got you.
And a few more, well, quite a few changes to application and how things work.
So what's the kind of benefit of the book to somebody using it?
The benefit of the book is that it's, I suppose, it's having a coach or a cheerleader or a guru, whatever you want to say. Just somebody who says you've got this in your pocket, in your handbag, on your desk, wherever, where you can follow the just the daily activities. It's seven activities. You fit it round your life, so you might want to do one a day for 7 days and then carry on impacting the whole progress, or you might want to do one, really feel that you've got that tucked away, and then move on to the next one.
Right.
It's entirely up to
Fantastic.
Individual. Yeah.
And I think that's important, isn't it? I think a lot of people, I mean, I'm a big book reader myself, and I think that where I've been guilty in the past, and I think a lot of people are still guilty now, is that they rush through the book, don't they? Just to say that they've read it. So when they're out there meeting people, have you read this one?
Yeah,
it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then they don't apply anything. Yeah. I think the good thing what you're saying there is it's got actionable steps that it's going to encourage them to do something with.
And also with a lot of books that have got the, or in even programmes where you've got like a programme to follow, if you miss a day, you start to get the guilt in, again, not as good as everybody else.
2 days, 3 days, catches you up.
It's like, oh yeah, I've failed at that. But it's just giving the message, it's fine. Sure. You're not failing, you're just doing it in your own time.
In your own time, fascinating. And I think that's really valuable, isn't it, to be able to get that across to them at the start, that it's not a race, and if you miss a day, that's fine.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right, so what I want to do, I want to go back a little bit, go back some years really, here, Elaine, and let's dig into a little bit about your background, because, so you were originally, well, I say originally, but you were 10 years in direct sales with V, which were acquired by Virgin, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So was it already Virgin when you were on board, or was it just, it was Virgin?
The company was only 6 months old when I was there, so had dinners with Richard Branson and... it was phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, really.
So 10 years in direct selling. So tell me some stories then. There must be some stories.
Oh, yes. I remember once being on, it was a manager's seminar, and the hotel we were staying in, Meatloaf was in.
Really?
And we got in the lift with Meatloaf.
Amazing.
So that was quite unusual, obviously. I'm sure he wanted to be in the lift with 20 other drunk women. It was a big lift. I remember being on a cruise on the Thames just as the Millennium Dome was being built. So we went and stopped around there, looked at that, and then went back. Dubai. I won a trip to Dubai, which was phenomenal. And it was just like beach buggies, and it was just magical.
Really?
Yeah.
So what did you learn personally?
It set me on my path of personal development, and I wanted to be a coach. I was at a Birmingham seminar. There was 6,000 women there, and a lady called Amanda Gore, who was an Australian, she's now classed as a happiness guru.
Oh, right.
But she was a coach, she was a public speaker. Energy was phenomenal. She was like on the tiny lay down, she was like on the stage, and she had 6,000 people in the palm of her hands.
Really?
And she had a stood up singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, and
amazing.
It was just amazing, and I like thought, I want that.
I want a piece of that.
I want to be able to have that impact on people like that.
Of course.
So I'd already got a team.
How much of that just, this is just obviously just to try and understand a little bit more, how much of that was wanting to impact people as it was to satisfy your own significance and ego, would you say? Because we've all got it, haven't we?
Yeah, and I don't think it's a bad thing. We all need it because we're human beings.
Of course we are,
It was. I've always been a helper. My primary school motto was Ich Diene, which means I serve. And I was always very studious at school, so I did exactly what I was told to do all the time.
Sure.
I'm sure my mum and dad would say that I didn't, but I did. when I did Virgin, I was already a beauty therapist, so I went I sort of fell into it and I used the products on my clients.
Sure, sure.
Then I like thought, I really love this. And then I built a team and was going out and doing wedding makeups and all sorts of things, developing through that. But building the team was where I absolutely loved it, because I'd got women coming to me. Some of them were doing it just to get a bit of extra money, so they could pay for holidays. Some of it were, I had a couple who were saving up to give them the strength to leave abusive relationships and to build the confidence and that sort of thing. Some who did it because they needed the money for the shopping. And it was the mix of women that we had, but it was just so powerful.
I can see.
And we really, really, everybody was in each other's corner. Yeah. We had a fab time.
And I think that the thing, I mean, sorry, just to come back to the question then. So for yourself, was it, how much was it to serve your own ego compared to actually impacting people, would you say? In what balance? 50-50?
Impacting people, yeah.
60-40?
Yeah, probably 60-40.
Probably 60-40. Because I think that, and you're right, we do need to realise that we do have a certain side of us that needs to be satisfied.
Yeah.
Just while you're on about the team building then, so I imagine in 10 years, you'd have seen a lot of people come and go.
Yeah.
In that time. Yeah,
because that's what that business is. Some
it's transient, people, isn't it?
Yeah, some people stick and it's like, yeah, this is it. And some people, no matter how much they want it, if it's not for them, it's not going to happen.
Is there a reason why it works for some and it doesn't for others then? What's the, I mean, 10 years in, you must have seen some patterns there.
I think it's down to self-belief. And if they believe that they can do it, it's like anything.
Yes.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I left and I was still fairly successful with them, but they introduced some elements that didn't fit right with me. So I decided to leave the company.
Of course.
And I could have. They were saying, well, you can still run your business, you can still do that. Just put it to one side that you're not particularly impressed with these new product ranges and things. And I was like, yeah, but it's not me.
Don't fit your values, yeah.
I'd left at that point and moved on, and that's when I did my extra training to be a coach and built on that.
Sure.
So what
did you learn personally then? What one thing would you say was the thing that you took away from direct selling that really helped you?
Was that I am, I would say that I am probably not a natural salesperson, because I have to fully believe in the product,
of course,
the project, or the ethos behind it.
And I
sort of went, I had people like saying, oh yeah, come on board, come to this company, come to this business, and I was like, tried a couple, but it just didn't
seem right. I mean direct selling is fascinating. I mean, I spent 4 years on the doors, and I think that anyone serious about business probably should do the same. Maybe not 4 years, but certainly spend a good year and a half. It certainly builds your tenacity and attitude and work ethic and all the right skill sets that you need. I mean, like you said, personal development started there.
Yeah.
The same for myself as well. So how much time do you invest back into you now then? Do you still give yourself lots of downtime to better yourself?
Your definition of lots, I don't have much time. but yeah, I mean, I'm always sort of reading. Am I always reading? No. My personal development now is more my time. So I will perhaps do some writing.
Right.
I will do yoga, exercise, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And then if I see something that I think is really interesting, I will go on that. I go to a speaking networking event called the Elite Network, which is on a Wednesday in Sheffield.
Sure.
And that is my sort of personal development, because it's not business networking.
Yeah.
It's
all PD, is it?
Yeah. It's all different. It's different speakers. They have two speakers. They talk, learn from them, and move on.
Brilliant.
So I wouldn't say I'm not a personal development junkie. I think
there's lots of them, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yeah. And I think I've done all that. I've not done it all, obviously, because I don't know everything. We're always learning. But what I do recognise is that I need to know myself more than I need to know the latest craze in personal development.
Yeah, sure. And I think that's something that's quite damaging at the moment, isn't it? Is that there's so much content that it almost stops you from taking any action towards anything, because you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Someone's telling you to do, you know, 10x. Someone's telling you to do, you know, I don't know, work 8 days a week.
Yeah.
And then someone's saying you can do it in 4 hours a week.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, what do I do?
And get up at 5 a.m. or get up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. There's a club. There's a whole club for that, isn't there?
Yeah. It's a bit like the cleaning thing. It's like, whoa.
I've just got introduced to this though. I was speaking to someone yesterday. I think it was. It might have been yesterday or the day before. Mrs. Hinge.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
I mean,
it's just mind-boggling.
I was speaking to a coach the other week, and he went, "Get yourself a Mrs. Hinge. They're your target audience." And I went, "Yeah, they've not really been impressed with me."
But it's mind-boggling that there's a thirst and a need for everything out there, isn't there? Do you know, whether it's cleaning or empowering people, or do you know, you've got this wonderful the Himalayan salt lamps. Yeah. It's just the world's just such a wonderful place filled with just so many different interests.
Yeah.
Like if we can really help people to dial into that. They call it a niche. Or if you're from America listening, it's a niche.
Yeah.
You know? But if we can like divert people into something that's really kind of specific and niche, do you feel that that's going to help people be more successful in an area that they're doing?
I think yes, to a certain degree, but we've also got to acknowledge and appreciate people's individuality as well. And be able to, I think, they say have a tribe, find your tribe. Yeah. I think it's not about you finding a tribe. I think your tribe finds you.
Yes,
if you're putting the right messages out there and you're being your true self, then the people that need you come to you.
So your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cheesy, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
But it's so true, though, isn't it? Yeah. It does work, doesn't it? Like, if you don't, you know, if you be the best version, the natural version of yourself, so that you're not dimming your lights, it's shining too brightly in someone else's face, then you will attract the right people to yourself as well, which is fascinating. So let's go a little bit further. So 10 years in Virgin V, what happened before that? Who's Elaine Mitchell before that?
Before that, I was in the civil service.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, Lord, I think I did about 10 years in the civil service. I went there from, not quite from leaving school, but just before then, just after leaving school. I went to work at the benefits agency when it was all, before it was proper computers, so working people's benefits out.
Sure.
I worked, again, back to the service and communicating with people. I worked with, initially, lone parents, helping them to sort the benefits out, tracing down alleged putative fathers. They were called APFs.
Oh, really? What were they called? Say that again.
Alleged putative fathers. Alleged. Chasing them down.
Okay.
Looking for, before the CSA came in, looking for maintenance payments. So I worked with them. Then I was moved and worked with, on reception. I worked on reception. I've had a child handed to me on Christmas Eve.
Sure.
Well, you look after them then if you're not going to pay us.
Yeah.
Then I worked with under 18s, homeless, and the homeless, which I loved that one.
Of course.
I loved that.
Like you just said then, so it's always been very service-based.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you go from being service-based to direct selling? Because
it was still a service because I was helping people to look and feel better about themselves.
So it wasn't,
when I went into the business, I didn't go into the business as a salesperson or to make money. I went in to get a product range that I could use on my clients.
Ah, makes sense.
And then it sort of like, I followed that path.
Got you. So, I think that there's, because it's network marketing effectively, isn't it? And I think that, I mean, network marketing is quite huge now, isn't it, compared to what it was.
Yeah.
I find, and I don't know what's your thoughts on this, I find that a lot of people that's been involved in some form of direct selling, some kind of network marketing scheme, tend to come out of it with real strong beliefs and mindsets, but financially struggling, whether they've racked up a bit of debt or problems, or they've kind of, I had a great quote yesterday from somebody who said that their gross lifestyle was larger than their net income.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very true thing here, isn't it, with network marketing. A lot of people do come out of there in debt because they've been used to trying to surround themselves with these people.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts towards all that?
I can honestly say that during my time with Virgin, I was a manager. We used to go to managers' meetings. And I always sort of had that negative internal dialogue that I didn't quite fit in.
Right.
Because I wasn't a designer girl. I'm still not. I'm very plain. I'm girl off at council estate, and I'm just, it does not float my boat, all the material stuff that is out there. So I wasn't into what the latest Gucci
bag, shoes, whatever, bling.
Everything, yeah. So I sort of never really like understood that side of it. I won the products and I used them, but I used to have to say to my colleagues, like, so is this a good one to have then? And they'd be like, yeah, then get that one. Have that one. But it is very much so, this is what I've got, this is my lifestyle, you can have this lifestyle too, which is where there's a bit of a rub for me.
Of course.
Because a lot of them, and I don't know a lot of them, are sort of struggling to have that. There is the fake it till you make it, which again, I don't particularly agree in.
I agree.
But if you're there and if you've got it, then go for it. And I know a lot of people who are hugely successful who have got that sort of lifestyle and they enjoy it and they do help others. But I think it's, again, it's the reason why you go into that sort of business.
Sure.
If you're going into that sort of business for the financial gain and for the trips and for all the treats and rewards, fantastic, but be honest about it.
Yeah.
And don't sign somebody up or bring somebody up who you know in your gut is not going to be, may well have used their last 50 quid
to be able to get on board,
to come on board, and then they can't feed the kids.
Got you.
So you've got to have that bit of ethic there. And I must admit, a lot of the people who I know are like that, who have got those ethics.
Yep.
There are some rogues out there that haven't, sadly.
I suppose that's the same in any industry as well, isn't it? Yeah, it's just that I suppose that's a bit more exposed because of it. It's a little bit unorthodox in itself. Yeah. So like coming back to like people being disempowered then. So this is one of the things that follows people throughout their life, whether it's direct sales, whether it's I suppose anything really. I mean, like, what at what part in your life did you ever feel disempowered?
Most of it. No, honestly. A lot of it. I remember being at school and they wanted me to go to do A levels and go to uni. I already said I was a council house girl. I'd seen my dad was a steel worker, so he'd been on strike. My brother was a miner, so there was a lot of poverty and hard times where I lived. There was loads of love, loads of positivity, but it was a proper working class environment that I grew up in. So it wasn't considered the norm to go into higher education.
Of course.
So I chose not to do that, and I don't regret that at all. But I think probably from leaving school, I was a bit lost, and it was like, oh, what do I want to do? Because I always wanted to do beauty therapy.
Right.
And as I said, I was a good girl, and I listened to my teachers, and they said, no, you're far too clever to do beauty therapy. Go on to do something else. So I went to work in civil service.
Right,
I still rebelled a bit and didn't go on to the higher education. But then I trained to do beauty therapy as well.
So you actually did the education in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So and what changed then?
It's flipping hard work doing beauty therapy. And that's me in physiology. Wow.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so what changed and what gave you that kind of kick to say, well, actually, do you know what? I do want to better myself. I don't want to be just a working class girl. I want to better myself and have that life that I know I can have. What changed?
I think it was gratitude, and it was the acceptance of where I was and being able to say, do you know what? I'm all right as I am. I don't have to change my accent to stand on stage and speak.
Yeah.
I don't have to have got a degree or have got A levels. I don't have to have given birth to my children to be able to be who I am.
Sure.
Because I'm all right as I am.
Yeah. And so how did you do that then? How did you come to terms with that? I know you said gratitude, but is there anything other than gratitude that how did you accept yourself in how did it work for you?
I think it worked for me by doing the personal development, by training I trained with a coaching academy to become a coach. So learning the questioning skills and being able to apply them to myself and be able to even like answering the questions, I was like, yeah, do you know what? I don't think that's quite right. So like I said, I'm not particularly goal-based.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the here and now. And I think just looking at that and accepting that, do you know what? It's now what matters.
Sure.
So obviously I read a load of books and that sort of thing.
Good. So do you have a certain way of making sure that you become accountable then to do these things? Is there a certain system that you use to make sure that if you say you're going to do it, you do it?
no. No, I wouldn't say I don't personally have a system. Obviously, when I'm working my clients,
of course,
we check in and we do that sort of thing. I've got coaches that I work with, and they keep me on track. Good. And I've got my daughter, she's 10, and she really does. If I say to her, Mummy's going to do this, she'll go, right then.
Really? That's
have
amazing.
You done that?
Bless her.
And did you, can you remember when you said that, Mummy? This is what you need to be doing. Yeah, okay then.
That's incredible. That's incredible. So we've talked about how you got into this space and how you kind of developed yourself and overcome these things. What keeps you here then? So what gives you the drive to keep on going?
The service, the changes that I see in people. I love to, I could be going to a networking meeting or just see something on Facebook and think, yeah, you go girl.
Yeah.
You did that you helped that person to do that.
Really?
And just seeing the transformation and the changes. Like I got a text from a girl the other day who's starting Power of Three with me this week. And she just texts me and she says, I can't wait to be working with you just after that hour-long conversation.
Really?
I'm so excited.
That's brilliant.
And then she sent me an even better one. With her dad, she spoke to her dad and he said, because I love football and I love Sheffield United, and she said, my dad says if you're anything like Chris Wilder you must be a good one. So that's like, yeah, I'll take that.
All day, yes. So you've been self-employed now for quite a number of years.
Yes.
Then looking out for yourself.
Yeah.
So what do you think, there's any opportunities that you've missed by doing that?
Any opportunities I've missed?
What I mean is, obviously, being self-employed comes with a lot of benefits, but there's also issues as well, like, you know, time, income, guaranteed income, you know. So, like, for some people, I know it's different now compared to probably 10 years ago because you could self-certify a mortgage. But, for example, someone trying to buy a mortgage who's self-employed can find it very challenging to be able to prove income and things like that as well. So, buying cars, property, travel, whatever it is, have you found anything really challenging to you?
I would say the income, not having the guaranteed income, but again, that is down to us. But it's far outweighed because I don't work full time. Mm. I work the hours that suit me and that fit around my family. I care for my dad as well, and it gave me the ability when Mum was really bad that I could virtually not work for 2 years and help look after Mum. Just did a bit of online stuff. And so it gave me so much flexibility that I would not have got that with a job. It would have been the rolled eyes at the desk, and she's having more time off. How many hospital appointments does a woman need? Do you know all that?
It's that flexibility that's given you. Yeah.
And I've got my life. It's my life. Nobody tells me what to do.
Sure.
Nobody dictates.
Sure.
When I'm there. And
are you a disciplined kind of gal?
Am I disciplined? No, I'm not at all, because I flow. I go with the flow. It's quite funny, actually. I was at a talk the other day, and this lady was speaking about, it's called DARE, Dissolve and Resolve Emotions. And it's a technique which resolves all issues from birth. So it's like about the relationship, generational things, and how you relate to, how your life now relates to your journey in the womb and generational stuff. And I just sat there and I started laughing, and my friend went, what are you laughing at? I went, no wonder I'm just in a constant state of surprise, because I was totally unexpected. So I'm like, yeah, I'm like going around laughing.
That makes it,
makes total sense.
Really, and that's so, wow, I mean, that's pretty incredible. And that's called DARE. Which is?
Dissolve and Resolve Emotions.
That's fascinating, really fascinating. Yeah. So you're just one big bundle of joy and surprise.
Not all the time, but yeah, try.
Do you find that not being disciplined, like going with the flow, for example, and not being disciplined, do you think that is a good thing or a bad thing?
It can be a bad thing, because I can look at things and think, yeah, I missed out on that.
Right.
But then I can look again and think, but did I really miss out because X, Y, and Z was happening at that time?
Of course.
And I am, obviously, I am disciplined because I run my own business. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't, if you put me up against, if you did a psychometric testing and that sort of thing, you would be like, how on earth does she survive?
How on earth does she survive?
And I love that element.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my clients do as well, because your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah,
so they don't want somebody who is like,
Sure.
I am like that, but I'm like that in a way that they can relate to.
And
they can get the results that they
makes
need.
Makes total sense. So is there any challenges that you've gone through that's been really close to thinking,
I think, yeah, when, again, life, business, family, all combined. So I think the most of all, it's my husband went through, it got made redundant. So it was like, obviously, that, what do we do now? So my husband is amazing, and he stays at home now, and he looks after the house, which is why I'm not interested in Mrs. Hinch.
But he is.
And does like the running of the house. He does all the cooking and everything like that. So that was a challenge. And the transition of making that change.
I can imagine.
But I mean, he does a lot to help me. He like sort of keeps my website ticking over and that sort of thing. So
you got a real team together.
We are a proper team.
Really. So how did you get through the challenging times then? Do you know, like you say, he's made redundant, so money's all of a sudden disappeared. You're self-employed. You know, family, mortgage, all these things. Yeah, how do you feel empowered to keep on going when you've had so many curveballs thrown at you like this?
I think it's just resilience, and everybody has everything that happens to somebody, regardless of if it's a broken nail or redundancy. There's always something that is going to challenge you. There's always something that at that moment is the worst thing that can happen at that moment.
Sure.
So you just have to keep on going.
And
everybody does that, because if they didn't, they don't get up the next day.
So what keeps you going in that moment in time then? How do you find that courage, that power to keep on going? Because I know we've talked a lot about gratitude, but do you know when your husband's being made redundant, when times are hard, it's very hard to have gratitude, because you like what else could you apply to or think or do to make
I think I think gratitude is a big part of that, because you're grateful for having that situation. Obviously it's not a brilliant situation, but then if you can like flip it, if you can, I advise my clients to wear an elastic band, the best personal development tool ever.
Yes.
And you can, we said twang your band.
Thought
and
stopping,
just think of something different or something around there.
Sure.
I mean, I'm so fortunate.
So just so everyone listening or watching, what can we just explain what the elastic band is a little bit for people?
I just advise people, because it's free, to get an elastic band, stick it on their non-dominant wrist. When they're having a negative thought, twang it, pull it back, and really make a welt appear.
Yeah.
So every time that appears, you get that thought, it just gives you a chance to snap out of it.
Of course. Why the non-dominant wrist?
Because your dominant one's stronger, so you're going to pull it and twang it.
And harder twang. Yeah.
Yes. No pain, no gain.
No pain. Fantastic. But it does work, doesn't it? Like you said, it's so powerful. The anchoring power that it holds is great, isn't it?
Yeah. And it does. It just helps you to be able to change perspective. Like I say, you are going to have down days. You are going to have days when you don't want to speak to anybody. You want to stay in your gym jams all day and just eat Ben and Jerry's. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it's being able to acknowledge and move on from that.
Sure. Do you think that everybody should be constantly striving for more? Or, do you think people... Because there's some people, isn't there, that's just always ambitious, always driven. And others are just like, I'd like it, but I'm not that bothered.
Yeah.
And actually, they struggle, but they're quite happy to struggle.
Yeah.
Do you know, should they be more motivated to get more, or should the people what's motivated to get more be motivated to get less? Do you know, is there a happy medium?
It depends what the more is. Yeah. I think if you are very motivated for the lovely stuff, to have the beautiful cars on the drive and the fantastic holidays and the bags and the shoes and whatever, then if that is what really, really makes you happy, then go for it.
Sure.
If that's not what makes you happy, find what makes you happy.
Right.
Because success and having more could well be having more cats, having more dogs, having
more downtime.
Yeah. Mm. So we shouldn't put our judgments on others, and what the more is.
Sure. So how do they find out that then? Do you know, like, if somebody... a good example where you said that when you left school and came out of school, you was a little bit lost, so you didn't know what that more was, did you, for yourself then? So like, how would somebody go about finding that thing that makes them really kind of come alive?
I think there's a path predestined for us. Mm-hmm. Whether we take notice of it, I don't know. I think looking back, everything I've done from being, from refusing to go into higher education, from being in civil service, from doing direct sales to training to coach, helping people with disabilities find jobs and that sort of thing, to going into what I'm doing now, it all links and it all follows through. So I think even if you're really, really stuck and you think, just go back, what did you love doing when you were a kid? What did you really enjoy?
Sure.
Was it painting on the pavement? Was it doing shopping for your granny? Was it watching documentaries and finding out about the world? And look to see what your common flow is, and then you'll find where your more is. And I don't think it's about finding more.
No.
I think it's about being more, being more of what you
are. Brilliant. And that being more is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. So let's take Elaine now and let's shift her back to, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And what's the best advice you're going to give yourself? So you can go back 20 years and find the 20-year younger version of you.
Yeah.
So you'd have been 16.
Yeah.
So you're going to go back 20 years, you're going to find yourself and you're going to give yourself the best advice you can give yourself. What would it be?
Do you know what? It don't matter. It doesn't matter. You do what makes you happy.
Ooh, I like it. Do what makes you happy. Did you always do what makes you happy?
No.
Why do you think that was?
Because of the stress and pressures that we put ourselves under. We have an ideal of what we should have, what we should be at a certain decade of our lives.
Yeah.
And just not by, just, yeah, not doing what I really truly wanted to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is to serve and help and support.
Yeah. Getting tied up in other things around.
So the best advice to yourself would have been, be happy. Find the thing that makes you happy.
Yeah.
What about to somebody just finding themselves right now? So someone's just, whether they've left school, whether they've maybe they've been made redundant, what advice would you give to them right now?
Take some time to find out who you are. Because we have different areas of ourselves, so we have like for me example, mum, daughter, sister, aunt, coach, everything.
Sure.
We have all different hats and we have all different areas in our life, and very often we have different perspectives of who that person is. Look for the common denominator and be more of that person, and then show everybody else that person.
So, and
I can honestly say that before, I've not done that.
Right.
Before, I've been the coach. Before, I've been, not so much being the mum. I think being the mum is the thing that helped me to be more of me.
Okay.
But, like, definitely daughter, sister, colleague, wife. You need to find the element in there that is the common denominator and let that bit shine and let that person shine.
What was the thing that made you discover it?
I think being a mom and finding out that my daughter had got special needs. I didn't want her to have the insecurities. She's going to have enough insecurities, bless her. Didn't want her to have the insecurities that I'd had and the pressures to be a certain way. So I had to show her and my son as well that it's fine to not fit in. It's fine to just be a little bit eccentric. And it's fine to be very serious at times as well.
Sure. And they've got a great person to follow, haven't they? Well, let's be honest. I mean, 10 years old already, your daughter said earlier on, she's already kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Come on, mum.
I mean,
and that's obviously come from you, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's incredible. What's the best advice you've ever received?
The best of that is from my daughter, actually. We were having a moment on our way to school one morning because bless her, she's so funny, but we were late as usual. We'd forgotten book bag, we'd forgotten something else. We were like, I'm like, come on, this is your fault, we're late. I'm telling a five-year-old it's her fault we were late. It was my fault totally.
Sure.
Went, come on, let's get across this road. And she just stopped in the middle of the road. It wasn't a minor road. It was just a side road. Mm-hmm. And she just went, let it go, let it go. And I thought, do you know what? You are so right.
Yeah,
and she weren't telling, was she giving me that lesson? She blooming was, but she wasn't intentionally giving it.
Yeah.
I thought, do you know what? You're right. If we forgot your book bag, what's
let
it matter?
Yeah.
If we're late for school, It don't matter.
Right, right, yeah. What a great lesson.
Yeah.
Amazing. Elaine, it's been... I need to call you Lorraine then. Elaine, it's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Your time. It's been very, very insightful. If anyone else wants to find out more about Elaine, like your book, the things that you're up to, any events, talks, things that are, where can they find out more?
I've got Facebook, which is Elaine Mitchell Empowerment Coach. I've got a website, elainemitchell.co.uk. I am on Twitter, Empowered by Elaine.
Yep.
And I am on Instagram, but I don't know my code for that because I don't go on it very often.
Yeah, good. And what about your book? Where can they get
my book? My book is available on Amazon, but yeah. I would say hang on fire for that for a month because it's going to be revamped.
Right,
so
you said that, didn't
it's
you? Yes.
Yeah, give it a month and sure. It will be up there, and that will be more value to you.
Amazing, so, Elaine. Once again, thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
It's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.